proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
If someone were to ask me, what is your most important Abounding Grace Radio message that you've ever aired, I would probably say the one that I'm airing at that moment. But I do have to say that today we come to, if someone asked me that question, I really believe we've come to probably the most important Abounding Grace Radio message that we've ever broadcasted. This is Psalm 90 today. The reason is because it takes away and exposes all the trivialities of life, the vanity under the sun, the brevity, the transiency of life, and it confronts us with God's eternity and death, the problems that plague us, the sorrows, the afflictions, the hardships, all of that. It confronts that head on, is honest about life in the face of death, and then gives us the most beautiful answer in all of the scriptures. So I'm excited to air this broadcast today from Psalm 90. We hope it's a great blessing to you. We'd love to hear from you. If it is, do please write to us. You can find us at agradio.org online, agradio.org. There's a blog there. There's ways to interact with us. All the podcasts are there. You can download them free of charge. You can call us at 888-504-8805. We're always thankful to hear from you when you do call. And you can find us on Facebook at Abounding Grace Radio and on Twitter, AG Radio 1. So many ways to get in contact with us and connect with us. We want Abounding Grace Radio to help you, dear listener, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for all of your prayerful and financial support as we begin this new year, 2019. We're thankful for how supportive you've been of the program, prayerfully and financially. You can continue to do that right online at agradio.org. This is part two of a message that we heard yesterday, Finding Comfort in the Face of Death. You can find that right online at agradio.org. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. By this point, all that was left was Moses, Aaron, Miriam, Caleb, and Joshua. Well, in Numbers 20, Miriam dies. And Aaron dies. His brother and his sister. He loved them. He loved them tremendously. Think of all the history, all the pain of this. Psalm 90, as this is written, it has to come against this kind of backdrop that he witnessed an entire generation, 20 and older, perish under God's anger. All the generation he knew. You'll notice in verse 3 through 6, now it makes sense, doesn't it? Where it says, "You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past. As a watch in the night, you sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and it withers." What's on his mind is this. He's living it. I'm amazed at some of the language here that is given to us, turning them to destruction. It means to dust. You return man to dust. You remember what he is thinking on is one great thing, one great problem, and it's curse. It's curse of Genesis, of sin and the fall. It's the curse of from dust you were taken, to dust you shall return. And you're living it, and you're seeing it. He says, like a watch in the night, like sleep, morning grass that grows up, in the evening it withers, and it's gone. That is our lives, Moses says. When Paul said that Israel broke the covenant, remember that was all teaching us the truth of what creation, of what had happened at creation with the fall and sin, of what the consequences were, so we would have a clear understanding of the consequences of sin and death, that the wages of sin are death.
is death. As I was writing this sermon, this is before, earlier in the week, as I was working on this sermon, I wrote this down. Isn't this interesting? That Richard Arvin Overton, does anyone know that name? He was born on May 11, 1906. He's the oldest surviving U.S. war veteran and the oldest man living in the United States. By Friday, he was dead. And in a few days, he's gone. It's over. Moses says in verse 10, we finish our years like a sigh. The days of our life are 70, if by reason of strength 80, yet their boast is labor and sorrow. 1,000 years in God's sight are like a day. We are like a blade of grass that is here and gone. Psalm 39, make me know the end. What is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you made my days as a few handbreadths. My lifetime is as nothing before you. All mankind stands before you as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who's going to get it. That's the ugly. You feel Moses' pain? See, I do. I watched my dad die this year. And I could preach this sermon years ago, but not the same way. It's totally different now. When you see a loved one at 67 waste away the way he did, the empty feeling, the experience, the pain of death, the hardship of it all, the reality to dust you shall return is so set in front of you. When you feel the pain of losing the one that you love, it has this very sobering, awakening, serious effect on your life. All the jokes stop. All the silliness comes to an end for a moment. And you're faced with your own mortality and you're thinking. Here and gone, here and gone, here and gone. God floods them away, it says. You see that? You flood them away. Billions upon billions of people gone. Imagery is really strong here in the psalm. I remember when I was in high school, we would go out to this little town next to Hanford called Armona. And high school kids do weird things. But we would go out there and we'd look at the graves. And I remember this one grave, still to this day. And on the grave, it said, remember, friend, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. And as I am now, so you shall be. So prepare for death to be like me. You know, we would just stand there and just chill us, right? You high school kids like that stuff. I don't know why. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. We finish our years like a sigh. Why so morbid, Moses? This is not what I want to hear today. You guys, this is depressing, isn't it? What has it done? Something very healthy for you. Sometimes things that hurt, you know, are the best things for you. It's like the bad tasting medicine in the back of the cabinet that you have to take before your colonoscopy, right? And you have to take that, and it's awful. But it's good for you, and you know it's good for you. This has made you irritated, and it's supposed to. It's supposed to. Because now we have to get to the bad before we get to the good. Moses has the bad. What is the bad? The bad is Moses did something really wrong in the wilderness. Moses, in anger, struck the rock. And remember what happened to Moses because of his sin. The Lord said to Moses, because you didn't hallow me in front of Israel, you will not bring Israel into the promised land. So you're going to die for this, Moses. Your sin has caused this. Moses is of this generation that dies. Moses. Furthermore, the Lord said to Moses, Aaron won't enter the land because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. So now Aaron's going to die. So Moses knows he's next, and Moses is wrestling with this. He's wrestling with the bad, and here's the bad. That's verse 7. For we have been brought to an end by your anger, and by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. That's the bad. Imagine that. Every last sin, everything that we've ever done against God, is right in front of his presence. Your years are 70 to 80 years, and we sin. We sin. We sin. This is what I learned in the wilderness. This is what I experienced in the wilderness. This is what I came face to face with, says Moses, in the wilderness. The ugliness of the pain of death all around me, of my loved ones, and then the reality of my own sin. And you know what happens with your own sin. It brings great discouragement. It brings great guilt. It brings great pain. It makes you feel like a total and complete failure, and there's no way God can love you. Is there? And I think this is where you stop and you realize that this psalm, what is amazing about it is Moses is brutally honest about life. Moses is so honest. He's not doing the American thing of covering up death so we don't even have to experience it. That's why we don't have to deal with death in our culture. We don't see bodies anymore. Moses saw bodies. And so he's wrestling with the question, well, what is the great good in all of this? Where is good? Where is an answer in this? And I think now you're ready for the good, which is really where he started. Moses cries out in verse 1, some of the most beautiful words, I think, in all of the Psalter and in all of the Scripture. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. This was the ultimate comfort for Moses. This was the ultimate consolation amidst all the tragedies of life, that there's one outside of time. That there's one with eternity as his attribute. Notice he even describes creation as a birth. He says, you gave birth to the mountains, or ever you had formed the earth and the world. You are God, as if to say, the earth was just born yesterday. With you, there's no beginning or end. With you, you will always be God. You never die. He found absolute comfort in the truth of God's eternity. What that means is with him, he has always been and he always will be. But you see, it's that truth, that overarching reality that provides strength for Moses in all his affliction. Here's where the rubber really meets the road. What's remarkable about the psalm, like the other psalms, like Psalm 139, where the psalm that says, Lord, you know me, you search me and know me, you know all my ways, you know my going out, you know. And the psalmist is not distressed about that. The psalmist is not looking at the attributes of God as weapons against him. If death is a result of sin, our mortality is set before the more immortal, what that says is he is the one who is in control of everything. The remarkable truth here is that Moses sees eternity of God, the outside of time of God, that there's no beginning or end, as something that is ultimate comfort for him. And you stop and you say, well, how? How is that possible? Well, none of the sorrows, none of the pains, not even death, can remove us, says Moses, from the abiding presence of the one who is from everlasting to everlasting. The word for dwelling place means refuge. Moses understood that the Lord is his refuge. The Lord is his strength. And this has changed his whole perspective of how to deal with the enemy of death and all of this pain and sorrow and hardship and affliction and tests that we're under the sun. How did he do it? Is there any way to have hope? And the answer is yes. Is there any way to live out life in the years we have so that it actually has meaning? So that there actually is fulfillment? So that there actually is real joy even with this impending death over our lives? And it's a resounding yes in the psalm. After painting the dim picture of reality, he describes the way of true joy and the way of true happiness. Listen to this. Moses says, in the light of the fact that our lives are a mist and our lives are like a flower that is here one day and gone the next, there's one overarching word here that should stand out in the psalm. There's one beautiful word that should stand out in the psalm as the highlight of the psalm after all this darkness. And it's found in verse 14. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Some translations use mercy, but this is the covenant word. This is the covenant word of his faithfulness. A love that cannot be broken or a love that cannot be taken. Satisfy us with that mercy, that love. It's a remarkable thing. Is steadfast love, a love that never changes, a love that doesn't go away, is that something that's possible for us to enjoy? All of you have been subject and seen loved ones die, and some of you are facing your own bodies breaking down, and you may be next in this coming year. How do we have joy in this darkness? How do we have happiness in this darkness? I'm not talking about the kind of false happiness that people have as they ignore the coming death. I'm talking about the kind of happiness that we have knowing that we're going to die. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Says Heidelberg One. You know what we confess as Christians. Why do we still have to die if Jesus loves us? If Jesus has died for us? And the answer is this: our death does not pay the debt of our sins. Rather, it puts an end to our sinning and is an entrance into eternal life. If I'm clinging to that truth, that's changing the whole way I'm looking at everything. You see, what Moses asks here is a question in the heart of this psalm that is probably the most important question that needs to be asked and needs to be answered. Did you see it in verse 11? Who considers, who knows the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? Who knows that? Moses has a great request of the Lord that the Lord would return to him. Return, O Lord, how long? That's not come back. It is return a sense of your favor upon us now. Let us enjoy your favor after this severe chastisement now in life. Let us have a sense of real joy and happiness in this life. Return that to us, O Lord. Well, I have a question for you. Who has known the power of his anger? None of you. None of you. None of you have known the power of his anger. None of you want to know the power of his anger. Who has known the power of his anger? Well, isn't it remarkable that Moses dies in the wilderness and a man named Joshua leads them in? You know what the name Joshua means, right? The Lord is salvation. All of that's preparation for somebody to come who's going to lead us in. He's going to bring us through the waters and lead us in, who himself would know death for us and taste the full wrath of God so that you'll never know the power of his anger. And you know who that is. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Moses is looking to him. Moses is thinking about him. It is this truth that you celebrate in the new covenant. Think of this today. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when Moses says, "Return, O Lord, how long?" He has. He's returned the year of his favor, the acceptable year when his son proclaimed it. And today, you have every purpose in the world to live. You have every reason to live under the sun while God has you here. And Moses anticipated, and Moses tasted that, and Moses knew that. For he says in verse 12, "Lord, my great request then, with fullness of joy, is that you would teach me to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." That should be a great New Year's request of the Lord. This is a great resolution that in the days that the Lord has given us under the sun to live, in the midst of all this hardship, all this sorrow, all this affliction, that we would take the life he's given us and have real meaning and real purpose with it and use it for God's glory and the service of others in his kingdom. That we would guard our hearts from wasting our life on the vanities and trivialities of life. That we would guard our lives. I mean, I'm just watching this pastor in China preach. What a fiery preacher under the face of persecution. What he's saying, we don't care about all this. Let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. It's that kind of life that is driving them. Guarding our lives and neglecting here, refusing in all of the struggles of life to so get caught up in what this world is offering and all the things that it pulls us with, the pride of life, the vanities of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all of that. And Lord, let your beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, he says. Let your work be shown, verse 16, to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Would you give real meaning in life to our children? Would you give them this perspective in life to our children? Would your favor fall upon all of us, O Lord, and in all of our works, in all that we're doing, establish our works of our hands. Make us useful for the Master, thoroughly prepared for every good work. Jesus has given you this kind of life. He's given you this kind of perspective. You have no idea how blessed you are. It is your only comfort in life and in death, that I'm not my own, but I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. What has he done for me? He's fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood. He set me free from the tyranny of the devil, and he's guarding my whole life, watching over me in such a way that not even the hairs of my head that fall. He loves me. He's keeping me. He's using me. And by his Holy Spirit, the works that I'm doing are for his glory. If you have fled to Christ this day, be comforted to know that in the years to come, you have one in whom is your dwelling place, whom you're hidden and lodged in. He is your home. He is your rest. He is your happiness. So that when your eyes close in death, you will awake in the arms of the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, seeing your Savior face to face. You believe that? This is the perspective that the psalm leaves us with. This is the joy that the psalm announces to us, that in Jesus we have everything. Believe him, trust him, and may this be your guide of perspective that guides us through 2019, another year of his favor, that we would glorify our God and our King.
For listening. listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.